Go to sleep, little baby. Your mama gone away and your daddy's gone stay. Didn't leave nobody but the baby. Go to sleep, little baby. Go to sleep, little baby. Everybody's gone in the cotton and the corn. Don't leave nobody but the baby. Don't you eat pretty, baby.
Greetings. Greetings, good people. What is going on? My name is Adon Bean. This is Off the Record, and we are back like we never left because we don't leave. We are just
consistent.
A bastion of consistency, and we are just so happy that we are here. That voice you hear is my homie, your friend, the angriest Scott in the business.
Yes.
Contrarian extraordinaire,
doing my best.
D1 lover of
always
immense magnitude.
God,
shout out. What's up, Dan Duncan?
These whispers in the background.
Right.
He's like ad limit.
he's Diddy.
Major killer. Oh yeah, y'all. It's good to be here. It's been an introspective week.
Okay.
And so I feel like I have a lot of thoughts.
Okay.
I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing.
Normally bad.
It is. On the 4th and 10 this week, I seriously edited myself.
Really?
Seriously edited myself, okay. Which doesn't happen all that often. Okay. I generally like think about it like, should I edit this out? And I'm like, no, like, you said it, you meant it.
Yeah.
It's published.
Right.
This was a scenario where I was like, too much thought.
Okay, that's what's up.
Took it too far.
Well, hey.
So maybe tonight.
That's what I was going to say. You got another shot tonight. Yeah. You can let it all fly where, you know, we're here.
This is Off the Record.
It is Off the Record. Yeah, absolutely. I also have the one who makes the world go round. The amazing. Yvette Ayana, how are you?
I am doing well.
Nice.
How's everybody doing?
Doing wonderful. Happy that you are here.
Glad to be here as always.
We said this before, but it is true. When we posted the last episode, they were like, who cares if David ain't here or show? Like, it was just like,
shade.
because Yvette is on, and they also shout out to, Harlem's own Lyric, who
yes.
came through as a guest. She was awesome.
She was awesome.
Definitely check out her work. I got another guest this evening, another poetry compadre, basketball homie, hip hop show attender, the John B. of spoken word himself. What's up, Nate Mask?
What's going on? What's up?
That's really funny.
Don't listen to what people say. Don't listen.
No, man. No, but I've known Nate for a good minute, man, and he's just a great friend. But I was really and you check out the shows from time
to time. I do. I try to listen usually late, but
yeah.
I catch it eventually. So
that's what's up. Nothing we say is time sensitive at all.
Nope.
It's timeless.
It's not the world
classic.
We live in.
It's very classic. We are the Frank Sinatra. We're actually like wine. It only gets better.
I'm telling you, we are the Tom Jones of of the show.
So much hyperbole.
Absolutely. But man, Nate, I know about you, but I could say more, but maybe you should say more about what you are, what you do, all that jazz.
Sure. I'm a spoken word artist. So we'll be going to Denver for the National Poetry Slam in, was that a week and a half, 2 weeks, much sooner than I'm ready for. But yeah, so also during the day, I work at a summer camp.
Yeah.
It's loads of fun. Actually, it's fun.
No, yeah. That's what's up. I've seen you in action with the kids, and they seem to enjoy hanging out with Mr. Mask.
Yeah, they enjoy it, but also they fear me just enough to still behave.
That's a healthy relationship with children.
Dude, you could write a book and make $1 million right there.
Maybe I should.
Absolutely.
Healthy fear.
Healthy fear.
I like the title.
Come on. You're welcome. Take that.
But you also have published you have a chapbook.
Yeah, I have two self-published chapbooks. Mm-hmm. One is titled "Well, This Is Awkward," and the other one is titled "Love Is for Suckers."
Word up!
So both
facts.
Lyric talked about chapbooks last week.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like a 75-year-old man asking this question. But what is a chapbook?
It's all good. It's not It's not a. That's not an old
let's
man.
Pub
it.
Let's extra pub this yeah. chat book situation.
I'm gonna join you, Dan. That I don't
Nate
know what that,
that
is
Nate either. Has done, but I don't know what it is.
It's all good. I shouldn't speak on it because I don't have a chat book. Nate, how about you? Well, you speak on it.
Also, just to make you feel better, I didn't know what it was until maybe a year before I wrote one. So,
okay.
So a chat book is basically like, you know, when you think of a book, you think of like a big, like official, like. Something that you're gonna find in, you know,
Barnes and Noble.
Sure. Or, mm-hmm. I guess Borders doesn't exist anymore. But
rest in peace.
Yeah. Pour a little bit out. But,
Circuit City.
Will.
Oh man, there used to be a Circuit City and a Borders right next to my job too. Those are the days.
Yeah.
But so a chat book is just a little bit more kind of like underground. It's like the mixtape version.
Okay.
So like a mixtape is to an album what a chat book is to. Huh.
Mm-hmm. How does one find a chat book? Like if I'm perusing chat books.
I mean, there's a lot of smaller like book publishers that put them out, but a lot of people just do what I did and self-publish them. And these days you can go through, I think, what is it, Create Space, and it'll get on Amazon and all that.
So you're on Amazon.
I did not go that way. I went the super cheap way and just got them printed online. Mine, you can find them on my website, which is natemask.wix.com/poetry.
All right.
Or if you ever see me in person, I have them on me. But
can I get one tonight?
I got you.
Yes.
Yeah, my car. Yeah.
Yes.
Sure. Making sales. That's what's happened. It's capitalism. Run amok.
Yeah.
But
you know, I believe in that.
Yeah. Shameless self-promotion.
I don't believe in corporatism, but I do believe in capitalism.
There it is. That's the difference there. So, yeah. Yvette, what have you been up to for the last couple of weeks? How are things?
I've been chilling.
Yeah?
Yeah, really.
Okay.
That'd be really, really hard, actually. No, but just some things that I'm working on. Not ready to say just yet, but just some dreams in my heart. And I'm really excited. I feel like things are coming together, so stay tuned for that.
We all will. We definitely will stay tuned. I know for myself, I went to Houston this past weekend, I guess. Houston is insanely hot. Like Atlanta's hot.
You.
Atlanta's hot. Houston is something else. Like Houston's heat is oppressive. It is.
This isn't oppressive. I'm not going.
I'm telling you, it's a different type of heat in Houston. Like I don't get it.
It's like an oven.
It is like an oven with, again, with like Lucifer, just like like Vanna Whiting, like the thermostat, like it is insanely hot. It makes no sense whatsoever. I caught up with some good homie. Caught up with Alex Faith for a little bit, and
you put out a big announcement today. Want to talk about that a little bit?
I don't, because I didn't see the announcement.
He announced that he's 100% independent and that he has new music coming.
Oh, I think he has already. Was mentioning already that he was independent, but no music.
He kind of started teasing that music was on its way. So shout out to Alex Faith.
Absolutely. He definitely told me in person that, you know, stuff that he had lined up, you know, musically. And he's got some other things that I think I don't want to speak on yet, just because I don't know if it's official out yet. But yeah, it's definitely look forward to him. But real anecdotally, I bring him up just because he was talking about his home situation and how he will set the thermostat to 67 and it will never go lower than 70. Like he never turns the AC off. He just sets it at 67 and it can never get below 70 because it's so hot outside. Like that's how, like,
that seems so expensive.
Like just, it won't even make it.
It won't even make it. Like it's just it. Like, I can't do, you know,
I'm trying.
There's limits to what I can do.
I'd rather sweat my ass off than spend that much money.
I'm 100% with you.
I can't do that.
Oh,
no.
I would. No. I would. No.
I was like, absolutely not.
Look, right. We like, nah, homie.
Outside
the black people in the room are like, so about that. Nah.
I'll walk around my house no shirt and my drawers on all the time. Yep. I'll save the money.
That's the thing. Like, what do you do after that, though? Like, I always say that.
Cold shower.
I've tried. We've talked about this. I was without an AC for like the last couple weeks here in Atlanta. And I just found myself like sitting in my car, like just like
I'm gonna just get this last
get
little
this
bit
real,
of AC in,
real quick hit, and then like
and go in the house about 10.
Absolutely, it's no man. I always feel like with cold, like with, and this could be Ohio in me, but like I always feel with cold weather, like I can put more layers on me. Like yeah. with heat, once it gets to skin, like that's all I got.
Oh, I'd much rather my AC go out than my heat go out.
Oh, yeah, I had that happen. I had that happen in like February.
Because then you got burst, like your pipes burst. Like there's repercussions. But then
you could start a fire though. Like you could
in your house.
Yeah, like at the fireplace.
If you have a fireplace,
if you have a fireplace, your bed out here balling.
Yeah, for real.
Not all of us have this luxury.
I mean, come on now. You could have one of your maids work on it.
the heated bedpan that they insert as you tuck yourself into the covers.
No, but no, it was just crazy, crazy hot. But the people were very cool, very nice. Definitely want to shout out, caught up with the legendary Sketch, the journalist Sketch. He came out to the show. Really, really good dude. And another dude by the name of Eric, who he has a clothing company. I think it's called Good English, but he gave me, you know, I got a shirt, which I got into this game for free merch and shirts and stuff. And
oh,
so,
for sure.
Yeah. So,
the barter system.
Absolutely. I take all bribes. I take everything. So like anybody wants just a shout out. That's not really a shout out like that essentially just gets, oh, I gave Adon this and he just happened to mention this on the show. Like, I'm completely open for business.
We started 4th District with the primary goal of getting an Outcast for free, which we accomplished.
That is so true. That definitely happened. That is why I signed up for 4th District. I met Darren, was like, you want to? I was like, yo, you got them Outcast? He was like, yeah. Like, okay, that's what's up. So
front row Outcast pro for you.
Absolutely. So
I should have got on this podcast way sooner than that.
Absolutely. Gravy train. But no, man, definitely want to shout that out. And finally, Dan, you're the countdown to the sun. How's things going?
Yeah, man. So my wife, if you listen to the shows often, you know she travels quite a bit. So she has one more flight home. So I'm literally flying out to LA so that she didn't have to do the down and back again next week.
Okay.
So I'm flying out to LA to be with her this weekend. She will take one more flight home, and then she is grounded until probably November, which my wife is already dreading going stir and crazy, not getting on a plane. So it's her thing. So Nate, my wife, her office is in LA.
Oh,
that's a commute. It is. Plus the traffic once she lands. Yeah. So Tuesday through Thursday, she's gone. So, or three weeks out of the month. So, she loves it though, which is you know, more power to her.
Absolutely. I'm sure she'll love her son.
Oh yeah. Things are good. Things will change. Yeah. There's change on the horizon. So, which I'm excited to have her home, honestly.
Absolutely. So. Yeah. Cause you're only like halfway married essentially.
Right. We go in like, you know, Thursday through Monday and then it's like bachelor hard.
Ridiculous. That's fine.
Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
Right.
We hang out often.
Absolutely. That's really cool. I will say this, the other thing that, you know, before I forget about Houston, which was interesting, is that like which isn't even indicative of Houston, it's Texas. No one in Texas understands portion control. Like like everything was insanely large. Everything you could possibly order was like Gulliver's Travel. Like, it was just insanely large. It made no sense whatsoever. And I, you know, it made me think most recently about this documentary that is just, I feel like it's a buzz. It's everywhere. The documentary, What the Health. In the last Scratch of the Week, Yvette, you had mentioned that you had seen this.
I did.
And I'll be honest, I haven't seen it yet. Dan, have you seen it?
No, I haven't.
Nate, have you seen it?
I have not seen it.
Okay, so I've not seen it yet either. I think, Dan, you and I are on the same accord in which, like, we've not watched it purposefully at this point. Like,
yeah.
Because we don't want to be held responsible for what we know.
Right. Ignorance is bliss.
Absolutely. But no, and we can get into this later, but I don't even have like a crazy, like terrible diet where I'm like, oh, red meat everywhere, anything like this. But this is essentially a diet. And I want you to speak to this more so, Yvette, but like, this is essentially a documentary that, speaks to the people about, you know, really moving to a vegan plant-based diet. cutting out all animal products, essentially.
Correct.
And my understanding is that also, without giving too much away, it also kind of shows kind of the backroom machinations around like what some of these organizations that are allegedly or supposed to be kind of advocating for health, kind of what's been going on the back end. Take that away. What's going on there?
Correct. I mean, you pretty much summed it up. It is there's a lot of talk about the meat that we eat and the carcinogens that are in the meat. So it kind of leaves you feeling like you just stole my chicken and everything that I love in life. Yeah. So, but even then, I think there's been a lot of criticism of it at the same time, because a lot of the people featured are all vegan as well. And you still got to watch the vegetables that you eat, because they have pesticides and wax on them and are injected with things. And so, I mean, at the end of the day, just bless your food, bless your food, wash your food, do the best that you can. But it really has sparked a lot of change. So many people, even in my own, like, my Facebook feed, have completely gone vegan, or at least trying it. Yeah. And so I think the good takeaway from the documentary is that if you aren't consuming vegetables, I think that's what I see more than anything, is people who just don't eat plant-based anything or aren't getting enough veggies. They aren't getting enough fruit. It's causing them to think outside the box and to be creative and to get their children focused on eating different things. I see a lot of moms kind of like, okay, well, maybe we should transition to this type of thing. So I think it is educational. It may not be the 100% truth, but I'm like, but what is, like, I mean, what is really?
Yeah. You know? No, and that's good. I do think it's really helpful in terms of just like, maybe like you said, we've swung the pendulum so far away from a lot of just veggies. And I would say also with veggies, I'd mind people, it's also how you prepare those foods as well too.
Oh, right. Like, let's be clear. Like, if you fry the peas.
Like, there's ways you can do it where it's just like, yo, this is absolutely not healthy for you at all. But yeah, I similarly, my like Facebook feed, Twitter feed, I've just seen an outrageous amount of people who have like, who are shook. Like, this documentary has them literally shook. They're just like, I don't know how to proceed. I'm like, I'm never eating any meat ever again in life. I'm so done, blah, 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 blah. So yeah, I've seen people who literally don't know what. The other part of it is this though. I've also seen people who have overnight become dietitian. Like, they, like, after seeing this, they are now like
certified
gurus.
Yeah,
and like, they are like,
yeah,
and they're like with a level of arrogance and like will look down on you like, you do not understand. I'm like, bro, you just saw this
yesterday,
like 3 days ago.
Exactly.
And now you certified. So I'm just talking at this point, Dan, like, you of course are avoiding this. You are a healthy red meat eater. Is that true or no?
I would say on the like special occasion, like, okay, I do love steak. Okay. But I would say generally, like, as like we get into this, I mean, we eat fish and like chicken on a consistent basis in our house, and then on the special occasion we'll do steak and burgers or whatever. I do love red meat, and I think primarily I'm avoiding it because I know I'm an extremist in the sense of, like, once I believe in something, like, I will follow it to the nth degree.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm just not about that life, like, when it comes to my food. Like, Fred's Burger in Atlanta, like, if you're ever in Atlanta and you want to have a good burger, like, go to Fred's and your life's better. Like, if I die, like, I'm a year early, I'm cool with that. I really am. Like, I'm at peace with that decision.
Yeah.
Like, I think people, what I do want to get into here in a second is like the outcome and kind of thinking through the fallout and talking about how long this will last. And
sure,
I think it's an interesting conversation, but I think in general, the film itself, this isn't the first one. Knives Over Forks, or Forks Over Knives, was another big one that kind of came out.
Food Inc.
That was a big one.
Super Size Me, which took on McDonald's and had some impact. We can talk about
for
that
sure
too, but yeah.
So, I mean, it's not abnormal for the, is it, anyone that was like surprised, like is genuinely completely surprised by the findings that like if you only eat meat you are like killing yourself, like you're dumb.
Okay.
Like okay. No one should have watched it and been like, oh, like if I don't actually put vegetables and other things in my body, it doesn't, I don't know, my body can't process that. Like that was a surprise.
Got you. That part of it shouldn't be the surprise.
Right.
It shouldn't be. Right.
And I want to get Nate in on this, but you know, there's also, and I could be wrong, but, cause again, you are the only one who saw this. Like, I want to be very clear.
yeah, I have two more thoughts.
Right. there's this part though, where it's like, they also, do they take on also like the actual food group categorization, like the pyramid that, because I've seen that be kind of put under a critical eye, but I don't know if the documentary does that.
But I feel like they go really hard at the organizations, right?
Okay.
Like, so when you have organizations that are supposed to, you mentioned that earlier, right? Like diabetes, and then you go on the website and all the recipes are like, yo, eat this steak.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, but I thought meat wasn't really that good for you. Like, how is that helping this situation? And then you go and you look at everybody who's backing them.
Gotcha.
And it's like Tyson Foods, right? So then it becomes the, yeah, it becomes that conspiracy.
Understood. Thing yes.
Going
they were
on.
Trying to buy NBC. Absolutely. That's how that works.
That's
right. Nate, essentially tell us all your diet.
I eat everything, anything that is near me,
the root to the tooter,
whatever, you know, leftovers other people don't finish of their meals, I take care of that.
You're a freegan of
whatever is available. I was taught not to waste food, so whatever food might go bad soon, that needs to be eaten by someone, and it might as well be me. But that being said, my parents were like, growing up, my parents got into the, you know, making sure things were like organic and that kind of stuff, which, you know, sometimes people have questions about how legitimate all that is, but, just trying to make sure you know where your food comes from. And I know my mom's told me several times, cause she watched, you know, Food Inc. and all those, and like, oh yeah, it's terrible what they do and how they prepare it. And I'm like, I agree, it is terrible, but I love wings and burgers.
And bacon.
Yeah, especially bacon.
Baby.
But yeah.
Yeah.
I get it. I get why we should be aware of where our food comes from.
Right.
We should know what we're putting into our bodies. And to agree with what Dan said, if all of this is a shock to you, like, you're kind of an idiot.
Yeah, really, like, Doy. You know what's interesting, too?
I need to bring back Doy.
Doy? I just showed my age just then. I said Doy.
I love Doy.
You know? And it was so authentic and genuine, like, Doy.
It was. I'm sorry, that was not your point, but I just heard that. And
no,
it,
that's great.
It
if you hadn't have, like yeah, mentioned it, I don't think I would have noticed that I said it at
anyway,
all. But
I'm sorry.
No, but like even leading up to it, I had gone to the doctor and was like, Yvette, you're like borderline high cholesterol.
Mm-hmm.
So even before I watched the doc, this was like a week before, I had already started like, okay, I'm Miss Google now. Like,
right,
what the heck should I eat and how can I change that? Then once I watched that, I think it just, for me personally, it was, what are foods that I can eat that can help that specific situation that I was dealing with? But I think the biggest thing is, like, I was hungry all the time and like trying to figure that out. And then, you know, I'm in this Facebook group and they're like, yeah, I'm just so full and like my whole life has changed. And I'm like, yo, I'm hungry and I'm trying to figure out how to make this work because I'm trying to be great. But Yvette is like, I'm hungry and I'm trying to eat every 2 hours like a baby. And, you know, then I'm like, okay, so it's vegetables, Yvette, so you can eat a lot. I think I was so used to dieting even, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, don't eat that much,
a
little bit.
Right,
but
right.
Then it was like, this is spinach, you can have like a lot of it,
right?
You know,
right,
so
right,
like
right,
eat more vegetables to have like that full feeling. But it's hard because just eating healthy in general, if it's not like your normal way of doing it,
mm-hmm,
like you go out in the street and then you're not ready, you're not prepared.
Yeah.
It's like, ah. And Zaxby's.
I
fell off really hard yesterday.
You
y'all
were saying.
What? I was like, I had chicken like 3 times yesterday. And I was like, see, this is what happens when you too extreme. Like,
there it is.
You had to make up for lost time, though. You had some ground to catch up.
Held it down yesterday.
What's funny is, and I'll say this briefly. Like, so I had, I was diagnosed with Crohn's disease. And with Crohn's, to manage that, there's like a lot of, there's things you can do like medicinally, right? But mm-hmm. then there's also like, oh, like adjusting your diet. And so before that already, I'd given up pork when I was like a kid, just because my brother was a Muslim and I was like, oh, I just want to do what you're doing because you're my older brother.
Yeah,
so I gave up pork. It was really funny though. I didn't realize everything that was pork when I was like 10. So I was just like, yeah, I don't eat pork. And I was like, but let me get them, you know,
this
the pepperoni on the, you know, because I don't eat pork. And it's just, yeah. So anyway, it became a gradual thing with the left. But no, so I didn't eat pork. Don't eat like, you know, beef. You know, I don't eat beef at all. But it's just, it's interesting that even doing those things, like my diet is like pretty good in that sense. But like similar to you, Nate, you know, like wings.
Yeah. No,
like that's
what, like, that's at least sacred. 50% of our friendship is based around wings.
Absolutely. I made Nate my emergency contact once I saw that like he could eat wings like I could. Like that's just that's the basis.
I had wings for lunch today.
It's amazing. But yeah, I would agree that like I think the other part of it too with like the diet and with all these changes we're seeing with people who are really hyper aware at this point, I would say also to what you're saying, Yvette, is that like I'd agree, it's like preparing for this, like, you know, like food prep or just be even being mindful of the fact that like, hey, like I can't wait until I'm starving,
hangry, to then be like,
okay, I need to eat something, because then you're absolutely gonna go with, you know, what's available to you,
sure,
immediate in that sense, but
and eat it all,
right? But you know, I think one of the things you brought up, Dan, which is interesting, is like what, you know, we're seeing this large impact that's going on right now with this documentary, and of course we've seen now like there are people. There are websites where fact checked the documentary. There are, of course, there's going to be a response, of course, from like, you know, the lobbyist mm-hmm. on behalf of the meat industry and stuff like that. But, you know, that will attempt to kind of cast aspersions on the doc and stuff like that. But more than that, it's this weird time where with social media and with these things that we're seeing, like people organizing. You said you were in a Facebook group that's mm-hmm. all around like
I'm going vegan. Veganism, what do I do?
And all of this stuff like that. And
vegan newbies.
And so with that, like, do you think, you know, do you think this will have a lasting impact? We've talked maybe even about what are, you know, we were talking even pre-show about like some documentaries that we have seen impacts, you know, where they've, it might not have been about food, but it might have been about some other cause or some other issue. So
yeah, no, and this is like definitely close to my heart, because like I'm a documentary filmmaker, so that like creating lasting impact from a film that tells the truth is like something that's like incredible if you can pull it off. I think while I completely disagree with his politics, Michael Moore is.
I disagree with Michael Myers' politics too.
Yeah,
slight difference.
Yeah,
slight difference.
Halloween.
exactly. Don't murder people.
Right. But no, I feel you.
Michael Moore. Fahrenheit 9/11, Bowling for Columbine. You know, the list goes on, and sometimes the films get worse as the list goes on. But
I think so, actually.
At the end of the day, there was a season of documentary filmmaking that incredible films were being made that really did stir the pot, but there was a lifespan of like, you know, 3 to 6 months before people had moved on. And there wasn't a platform to give them life after the movie had been released and people had seen it. And now in the age of social media, I think you see films like Blackfish come out where people will talk about it for, I mean, Blackfish came out 2 years ago.
Longer. Like that was 2014, 2013. It was the same year that 12 Years a Slave came out. And I remember thinking about that because
it was the first year of fourth.
Probably.
So, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. 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 I agree, just because, I mean, for those who don't know, Blackfish was about SeaWorld mm-hmm. and about the orcas.
2013.
Yeah. I thought it's some time ago, but to your point, it seems shorter because the impact and the legs of it and what we've seen with regard to SeaWorld, you know, changing policies at this point.
Changing policies, losing significant revenue.
Absolutely.
People just not supporting it with their wallets anymore. And so it's crazy to see that a film no longer has a 6-month lifespan, but it has years and years and years, and now literally can change the way that people are choosing to spend their money and do things differently. Facts. And I think it's because there is a group think that social media allows us to kind of participate in, mm-hmm. and we feel like a part of a group. Like, if that, I mean, talk about this group that you joined, and what made you go from watching the movie to finding this vegan group?
Well, a friend of mine watched it as well and mm-hmm. was like, I think she's the one who even emailed me about it. I was like, girl, you need to watch this documentary.
Absolutely, right.
So I was like, all right, cool. Is it on? Whatever. So I looked it up, and then she's the one who added me to the group.
Gotcha.
So again, you have like these super fans who are like advocates. I'm like, all right, well, cool. Like, add me, because what are we supposed to be doing? Like, what
feel like this is
recipes
how you should,
and things like that.
Maybe this is how you should share the gospel too. Like, I don't know.
What,
like,
you know, it's about
like,
that?
It's just like, you know what? Like,
I'm gonna
do this. I'm so excited, and I'm just gonna graft you into this. You know, you're a church member now. You know that, right? Like, anyway.
Continue. Yeah. No. So just kind of like, just kind of grafted me into the group, and it was interesting because it was filled with a lot of new believers, who were just trying to figure out what to do, what to cook. And that's, there was a, someone was featured in the doc who had, I think, plant-based on a diet, on a budget, plant-based something on a budget.
Okay.
And so she had gone to the grocery store and took a picture of her shopping cart, and then got all this feedback. It's funny, you said people become like experts. People were like, you shouldn't get that. That's not healthy. I mean, I'm saying, like, you got to canned vegetables. What's wrong with you? Again, but the social media piece, posting the picture, putting the website, connecting you to the content in the link, you know, you just start,
it's a community though, essentially,
reading.
Like,
exactly.
that's ultimately what any honestly change needs. Like, if you make a change, you try to find a community around you that supports that change. And that's not, you know, revolutionary in a way. You know, I would say that I know. So I went vegetarian for like a year and some change. Mm-hmm. And then then I went like vegan for like not even 2 months or whatever. It was really short period of time. I was like,
dramatic.
I need to make my way back towards the broad road a little bit. You know what I mean?
No, I feel you.
But I do think to your earlier point that it is probably helpful that I think, you know, it's mindful that even if one day out of the week you just said, I'm just gonna not eat meat like this day, I'm going to focus on, you know what I mean?
Or 2 meals out of the day.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
Like, maybe I won't eat meat, or for dinner I'll have meat. And so I think watching these moms and these women who are preparing food and who maybe culturally or traditionally cook a very particular way. Mm-hmm. Now looking and saying, okay, well, what is vegan butter? And what about this? And how can I make healthier choices for my family? So I think it's affecting certain communities in a way that's good.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. That's true.
Yeah. I mean, so about a year ago, I started doing this thing that's just fruit before noon. So I only eat fruit before noon. And so typically I like have something at like 2 or 3 o'clock, and then I eat normal lots of hamburger dinners. But I throw it all away
after two, right?
Yeah.
I was tired so much by the end of the day that someone was like, hey, try this. And it really did, like, I didn't do it for any health reason other than just needing energy to get through the day.
Yeah.
But I want to ask this question. What would it take, and maybe I'm asking it more to the men who are still on the other side of the fence of eating meat and choosing not to watch this documentary particularly so that we can. What would it take for you to find out that, like, okay, I'm done with meat? Like, if you found out this,
like all meat,
yeah, like to go, like, for chicken wings, we'll just say this about chicken wings. Like, what would it take for you to find out about chicken wings that you're like, okay, I won't eat them anymore? If there was a direct correlation between, if you eat these, you will get cancer eventually, would you stop eating them?
I would probably eat less. I don't think I would just completely stop.
Yeah.
Honestly, like,
what could make me like get? Honestly, the only thing that could make me give up on wings is like if I saw like I would have to see the I would have to like see the place that I was going to get my wings. I'd have to see exactly like the terrible, disastrous things that they are doing to those wings.
Yeah. Those specific batch.
Yeah,
that one batch.
And then he'd go to the place next door.
And like even wings. Then, it would be like, well, that's just their institutional issue. Yeah. Like, let me go to this. No. You know, and like, I would have to know that that was happening every single place.
I would rationalize so much. It's terrible. Like, well, you know, see, but the thing is, like, maybe I could be okay. Like, maybe my DNA is slightly different than everyone else's.
Maybe I'm a superhero.
I might be wingman. Right.
That's great.
Or I would think, like, I would, or like that old trick they talk about, like, you'd have to name every single. Like chicken, like I'd have to think of it as an actual.
That ain't gonna work.
Nah, my neighbors got chickens and they have names. They love those chickens. I would eat all of those chickens. I'd be fine with it.
I'd be like, no, not Ralph.
I'd be like, Ralph. Humanize the chicken.
Ralph is delicious and crispy. Like,
No, it's real.
Wings could like try to kill my family, and I'd probably still eat wings.
Probably it's like you gotta die or something.
You
right?
Defend the wings to your family. Yeah. Like, you don't understand them like I do.
You just gotta give them a chance.
You gotta give the wings a chance. Like they're just.
I love them.
Oh, they love me.
We're gonna be together forever.
No, it's tough, man. Like when you get really. All jokes aside, I think if I had to give them up, I'd be able to give them up, but. Like, is the will there right now? No, it's not. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, the will is not there to do that.
I think wisdom says just be healthy because you can, if you're living crazy and you're eating all kind of crazy stuff and you are killing yourself, right? Like, either stop now or you'll find yourself in a situation where the doctor will tell you can't have it. Yeah, and then your situation is bland and gross and horrible. Yeah. And now you're trapped with this funky diet. Yeah, so to me, I think wisdom says, all right, let me just be a little aware of what I'm doing if you're just like wilding out, eating whatever. So
that's true. I just thought of something that might make me change like almost immediately.
Okay.
Which is like, it's weird. But if I found out that like for every wing, like a bunch of my sperm count would go down, like off of like.
I actually like. Was sort of thinking along the same line.
You didn't think it would be a boom.
I was thinking like stamina.
Like stamina.
But like, I don't care about the sperm count. Sperm count doesn't bother me. I'm cool with that. But like,
I don't have those goals.
My performance.
Some dude is running to eat wings right now. Like, oh, this will help.
He's just like, libido wings. Yeah.
But
no.
if performance libido. Decreased, I might. I would definitely cut wings.
Babe, I think it's the wings.
It's not cancer.
This never happens.
Did you eat wings today?
It's never. I swear.
Never.
I had a weak moment. I ate some wings.
That would change the game.
That's so weak. That says something about like the mentality of men. We're just like. But you
stock
need something
drops,
gonna happen
like,
before.
Yo, chicken went out of business.
Like, I'm not worried about my heart, right, but don't mess with my dick. Like, right. Don't mess.
It's terrible. Oh gosh,
that's funny.
So, yes. So, ladies and gentlemen,
and
that's
then
what we got.
That. Well, thanks very much, everyone.
So yeah, think about that. Watch What the Health, and let us know your thoughts. At some point, I will definitely watch this, but I've been holding off for now. But yes, please let us know your thoughts. Let us know what, you know, have y'all embraced veganism? Have y'all, you know, are y'all like running from it? Like, absolutely not. This is a, you know, this is something designed to destroy us. I don't know.
Are you
whatever.
Front on Facebook
just
and still
don't hit
chicken.
Us up with some BS animal rights stuff because I just don't have time to deal with that ignorance.
It's kind of true. Oh my gosh.
Like, I'm not here for y'all. Don't play with me.
Don't play with me.
No, yeah. Fido, your chickens and that fish deserve to die.
What I think though is interesting is that like, you know, even in the conversation around like, you know, changing the diet radically, you know, it makes you think like it's such a huge part of, you know, of what we do, what we think about, you know what I mean? It's essentially this huge aspect of our life. I can't even imagine how many billions of dollars the food industry, you know, makes up of our economy. But essentially, man, like food is a huge priority for people. It's communities create around it, culture comes out of it, all the stuff like that. what, you know, we were talking about this, Dan, like, you know, food essentially is a distraction for some mm-hmm. people too, you know what for I mean sure. And so you were throwing out this idea around, like,
this came out of my introspective week.
Yes, you said you'd been thinking all week. Mm-hmm. Tell the people what you had been thinking about.
Yeah,
all week.
Yeah. So I had a lot of time on set, which means we were sitting in dark rooms for a lengthy period of time waiting on people, and so
pondering life.
Pondering all that is life. And so, you know, we had a discussion around, you know, the saying goes that, you know, religion is the opiate of the masses, right? Like, it's the thing that calms people, tells them not to worry about the things that they potentially should be worried about, that are right in front of them. And Joseph Stalin died and destroyed, you know, millions and millions of lives in the process of making that statement. But what we were interested in is, like, but genuinely, there is some truth in there of, like, what are the things that, like, we embrace, and it completely distracts us from the reality that this world is so fucked up. And it kind of comes out of this whole thing that Trump says today, like, transgender people can't be in the military, and we're just going to acknowledge that it's the most ridiculous statement ever made, and we're just going to kind of not give it any more credence than that.
Yeah, I'll just say this.
Yeah, yeah, please.
You think, like, oh, there's a bottom. And then, like, then something else happens.
He keeps digging. He's got a really big shovel.
Right. And this is, again, we say this all the time. This is not like a Democrat-Republican conversation.
No. I'm car-carrying Republican.
Yeah, this is just like, yo, this is really stupid.
Yeah, like, continue. He'll eventually hit lava and we'll all explode. But
the floor is lava, will become a whole new.
Exactly. I'm really convinced he's trying to get to China. Like, it's like the old...
He's
like,
trying to sneak attack? Like,
right.
Like, Meek Mill's making sad songs called Blue Notes now. Like, you know, things are just getting real, real sad.
Man.
Okay, sorry. I'm sorry. My just trap, bad music digression. But the point is, you know, he says those things, right, as a distraction. Like, there is some other very real things happening in this very country.
True.
Yeah. That he actually cannot control. Like, as president of he can ask that would become policy, but he cannot issue that policy. He does not have that power. He does as commander in chief, but he can't do it through a tweet, right? So it's distraction from what's going on in the world. And we started getting into this. Well, it's easy for you to say, like, but you do the same thing. Like, Dan, you watch sports every single day instead of really digging into the news that you could be really digging into and find out what's going on in the world. And then some other people were, you know, music or whatever. So I guess the question is what are the things that we just are so enthralled by, and are we going to wake up, you know, 10 years down the road, like, we all fell asleep at the wheel because of the new Netflix show that was coming out, or, you know, the new reality TV show that we couldn't stop talking about. And I think we watch The Bachelor once a week. Some people do. My wife does. And we wake up, you know, 7 days later to do it again, but there's a lot that's happened in this world that we just choose to pretend that doesn't exist. So I threw out the question to us all, what are the things that you personally think, you know, I kind of run to try to kind of pretend that this world is not as jacked up as we pretend it is. This just got real, real.
It did.
I know, it's like confessional. Like,
yeah, yeah.
Wow.
Step up to the plate. I'll go first since I posed it. I think for me, I engage in the 24-hour news cycle, but I engage with it like we are very critical of. It's like the ivory tower. Like, I enjoy the theoretical processing of problems that exist. Mm-hmm. And I'll sit in rooms for hours debating the best course forward. Mm-hmm. And I feel better. I check the box for myself, that I can go to sleep at night because I've solved the problem, yet I've done nothing to actually solve the problem.
It's interesting you say that, because I was even thinking, like, you know, that it's easy to, like, and I'm not saying you're doing this, but it is easy to, like...
No, I probably am. Go ahead.
it's easy to look down then on, like, oh, sports or, you know, music or love and hip hop or whatever the thing is, and be like, I'm at least watching, you know, C-SPAN and CNN and MSNBC. Like, I'm watching all of these cable news network and I'm talking through whatever. But at the same time, like, if you aren't doing anything with that information, mm-hmm. If you aren't applying that, you know, true and living in theory, as like Fred Hampton would always talk about, Chairman Fred Hampton, like, if you're not actually doing that, then what is that other than just a distraction as well? It's a way in which you are able to, like, you know, satiate that part of your desire and just be like, oh, I'm doing this,
I'm involved, I'm woke.
Absolutely. Yeah. All of that. Interesting. I'm trying to think, like, I would probably have, you know, if we're talking on a personal level, I'm sure there's a lot of things that I use as, I don't know if, I mean, yeah, critically, I'm speaking critically, it would be distractions. But I would say, like, you know, there absolutely is music I dig into, like, super heavy. And there's, and I love stories and I love narratives. And so I run to, I don't, it's weird. We were talking about all the movies we haven't seen that have been out, but, like, I love watching movies. I love, you know, long form, you know, shows that I can watch, you know, binge after, you know, front to back and be like, oh, that was so interesting or whatever. So I absolutely love looking into these stories that port me to a different world, that port me to this society or whatever it is, when currently there is an actual society that should be of concern. And it's a weird thing because I wonder, like, you know, I'm always over the belief that, like, art, fiction, music, like, all these things are essentially lies that tell truths, right? And so I view them as things that, like, can speak to the current human condition, even if it's a even if it's a fake world that has been created, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? And so I'd like to think, you know, pulling on my better angels, I'd like to think that I take those things and I use that as fuel to, you know, kind of engage with the world. Sure. But, you know, surely not as much as I think I do at sure. all. You know what I mean? So I don't know. I'm like pondering. I'm thinking about it even now. But
like, what I would say, definitely personally, just social media. You know, like, for true. Me personally, yeah, like, when I pick up my phone in the morning, it's like, at one point I was like, I removed, like, Facebook and Instagram off of my phone, and I just wanted to see, like, I was feeling like I'm a little too addicted to this, like, mm-hmm. and every time I picked up my phone to go to it, instead I was like, I'm gonna open up my Bible app.
Oh wow.
And yeah. read my Bible instead yeah, of go yeah. to, like, Facebook or whatever. Yeah, yeah. And I was like, ooh, you know, like, right, ooh, right, this right. is yeah. happening yeah. a lot. Like, yeah. what if I made better use of that time? Mm-hmm. But I also wanted to say, even, like, as a woman, I think beauty is a distraction.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Like, it's a in 2015, it was a $56.2 billion industry. Mm-hmm. And so that means a lot of people are distracted by that. And I think as women, sometimes it's like, well, how am I going to do my hair? And mm-hmm. what should I put on my skin? You spend all this time and you look at how many views are underneath each video and how many, like, workout videos are yeah. there. And it's like, yo, we could be changing the world and solving problems. Wow. And there's yeah. more in us and to us as women specifically to change the world, but yet we're more focused on what is decaying and trying to keep it from decaying instead of the world from decaying. Wow, and yeah, it's just yeah. like a really huge distraction. And we're spending our money and spending our time trying to kind of outrun the inevitable.
Yeah.
Really.
Yeah.
You know,
as a just
that's
a
not legacy. You can't leave a legacy right. if your skin yeah. is tight. Like, you know, right. what is that? Like, right, that's not right. making you money. That's not leaving your children anything.
Absolutely.
And yet we're so conditioned to be distracted by that forever and ever and ever. Amen. Until you're like super duper. How old is she? Like, how is she doing
yeah,
that? Like,
yeah.
how is she changing the world?
Yeah. Yeah.
How about that?
Man, just to chime in really quickly, I was booked to do a show for a sister who, like, she had seen, like, my group The Remnant perform for a time, and, like, then, like, she was like, oh, can you do this show? I, you know, she was a natural hair blogger or whatever. Okay. And I knew nothing about this world, like, 5-6 years ago or whatever. And so I go and I do the show, and I'm thinking, like, it's this small little gig we're about to do, you know, like, oh, fall up on this thing. Fam, when I tell you, like, there was, I mean, I never seen, like, there were so many people at this thing that I like was, I was like reconsidering the set. Like, I was like, oh, I got to do a real show. There's real people here, really interested. And I mean, like, engaged and just like beautiful people. Like, I mean, like, whatever.
I'm sure.
And it was just crazy because I hadn't thought of, like, I don't think about like what to do with my hair on a whatever consists, but I got 21 questions about, okay, so what are you putting it like what, you know, I see your curl pattern is, I was like, I don't know what you're
like,
talking
bro,
about.
I don't know. I don't, you know what I mean? It's been like this. How long have you been natural? And like just the level of engagement sure. around that 56.2 billion. It's like crazy. What could we transform with $56.2 billion? If we were to gather up all the money you spent and all the product underneath your sink.
Wow. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
If we were to pull that money together and figure out how to do something at a local school. So,
that's true. Wow. You know, yeah.
I think it's a huge distraction.
Yeah. They would.
I know for me, sports is definitely one of them. I try to keep it in perspective, and because I used to be like way out my, especially for being an Atlanta sports fan, like my emotions were tied way too much to sports. I'd always get depressed the same times a year.
We gotta look out for Nate.
Yeah. No, I'm like I have perspective now, but like I mean, even when we were talking earlier about like, I was like, oh, like really the only thing I know that's going on in the world is that Kyrie wants to be traded. Like that's all I know.
Like transgender, well, I don't know.
I didn't see the news today, guys, but Kyrie wants out.
I caught that.
Yeah. But yeah, that's a big one for me. And
it's also like, not to cut off, but you, and like I've had conversations with you where like, you'll know like trade cap and like salary,
when I was like in high school and probably even in college, like my friends had this game where they would just like randomly just give me an NBA player's name and I could just tell you like where he went to college. Like off just everybody. they called me at work. I was like, all right, Xavier McDaniel. And I was like, I was like Wichita State.
You're welcome.
Yeah. Oh,
he's Rain Man.
That's amazing. Yeah.
That's
but like, and but it's the same thing. Like, what else could I be using that brain power for? Like, I could have done a lot of things. I was like, no, I'm just gonna read basketball cards, guys. It's cool. But yeah, that's a big. And I would say also like social media was like probably the first thing that came to mind. And you know, I make myself feel better. It was like, oh, I'm not on Facebook as much as these people. This person, like. But even then, yeah, like when I wake up, like I'm like, oh, I'm on Instagram or I'm on Facebook, and true. I may not like read everything or scroll all the way through, but that's like the first thing I think of. And it's like,
yeah,
it's like a bit of real life, but that's also not real life because people do.
It's the highlight reel of people's real lives. And I ask that question not because I want us to have confessional time, but I do think that a lot of people probably hear what we're talking about and can relate in various ways. And two, I think just to like challenge our listeners and ourselves to some extent to be very, very mindful. Someone said it to me today, like the times that those other things get super, super loud, not to get all conspiracy theory on people, but like those times that those other things get real intense, real loud, whether it be sports or the news cycle or social media or the new technology, like be mindful of the things that people aren't talking about. Because there's a lot going on, in this country, for sure. And in the world, especially that, you know, a lot of people don't want you to know, like the food, people don't want you to know what's in the meat, and the, you know, the entertainment people don't really want you to be depressed because you spend less money when you're depressed. So how do we get people happier? Like literally I was in a creative meeting before and it was like, yeah, we know that we need to be real about this, but they won't spend money if we're real about it. So how do we just fake it?
Gotcha.
And it's like,
it's tough.
Not to cut you off, but like I think it kind of ties in what we're talking about with the food. You got to pay attention to what you're putting in your body. You also got to pay attention to what you're putting in your brain. Like,
totally.
You know, you need that time to like not think about stuff. You need that you know, recovery time for your mind to just think about nonsense. But you also don't want that to be everything. Just like you need a piece of cheesecake every now and then.
Oh, right.
You need some wings every now and then. But you also need to eat some spinach or some, you know, like, you know, you need that balance.
Yeah. And I think also even, you know, even what you were saying, Dan, like there's in the current society, there's a a concern, like a concerted effort to like keep us away from stillness, right? Mm. Like to like make sure that we're never like fully alone in our, you know, amongst ourselves, like processing something for ourselves, like there, you know, whether that be social media, which I'm just as guilty as others, and like similar to you, Nate, like there's a level of like fake haughtiness and arrogance, right? Like, well, you know, I barely get on Facebook. Yeah.
I haven't posted in,
but like I'm on Twitter. Like I know everything that someone said on Twitter, but like it's the same thing. Like, but regardless, it's a level of yeah, like to like almost this like like plot to make sure that none of us really just like can think independent in a way in which we're like, hey, I'm just gonna like deal with my emotions. Like, how do I actually feel about something? Let me take in how someone has told me they feel about it, but like,
or told me I'm supposed to feel about it.
Or told me how I'm supposed to feel about it, right? But like, how do I feel about it myself? And like, what do I do with that emotions? And I might have something completely unique, or it might hit me in a different type of way. And I think that that's one of the things that like is helpful, like places that are like, you know, one of the things around and advocacies around therapy is that like you talking with someone that is helping you, it's essentially a guide helping you push through those things for yourself. And it's just interesting that like all of these things that we're talking about essentially distract us from that. Cause the way you are about sports, I am somewhat, but like music, I'm like, oh man, 1988 is when da 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 dropped on, you know, this label. Well, above it.
Yeah. And I'm digesting news on such a level, like literally on this episode, I'm so dead to it at this point in time. I like, it's such an opiate that I'm so deadened to it that I was willing to, we were getting ready for an episode here and the Facebook Live murder was happening or had just happened. And I was like, oh, there's a video of it. Let me,
oh,
let
talking
me
about
watch it.
The last
previous,
oh, yeah,
previous
the,
episodes, months and
when,
months ago.
When Goodwin was killed in Cleveland. Yeah. Yeah.
And right, I was right, just right. like, oh, let me yeah. watch this so that I know.
Right.
And there's this like thing of like knowing what is fed to me on the internet checks this box for me.
Right.
And it's like, the friend that I was having a discussion with is way smarter than me. And was like, yeah, like people actually don't know what it is to like feel like fully alive anymore. We just haven't come to accept a version of alive and a version of thought and a version of quiet that that has never existed in the past. And I think it's time for us to kind of say, you know, we need to refine that place where where we don't deaden ourselves to pain. Like we don't deaden ourselves to being sad and depressed, even when the Falcons blow a Super Bowl.
Too soon. Still too soon.
But yes, thank you for entertaining my introspection.
Yeah.
No, I think it was a great question. And I just wanted to add also like something you said about like the haughtiness. Even I was talking to a friend of mine about how she was saying, I'm on Facebook too much. But for me, it was like, I research too much. It's almost like being a workaholic is also a distraction as well. Like it still feeds. So even you could be doing something that you think is noble.
True.
And it still detract, you know, takes away from you being quiet. And also just a little plug, I downloaded the Headspace app, which is like a mindfulness app.
Oh, really?
Literally because I was like, I feel like I need to chill some and like just pause throughout the day.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, it gives you little alerts and you kind of sit there and just kind of try to quiet yourself for 3 minutes a day. And you know, that's one good way I think where you can use technology to your benefit.
Yeah,
or like the Abide app, which is like a Christian devotional app and you know, gives you something. You know, you just see people trying to help you slow down a little bit.
And I wasn't aware of the, you said mindfulness?
Yeah, it's like a mindfulness app. It's called Headspace.
Headspace, that's what's
Headspace.
Up.
That's dope. I'll check that out.
Absolutely. I think we could all probably benefit.
Like downloading Headspace.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Man, no, that definitely is reminds me of that. Or I think that was a good question because it did force us all to kind of
slow down, right?
Yeah, just honestly, like,
let me look at
there was
the
just
mirror.
This long pause, like my life.
Dang,
what does it
I have
mean?
To look at myself.
I'm here.
Not the
let
mirror.
Me show you.
Think about emotions.
Absolutely, but I mean, but it's good because it. I think it. It did help us do that. It also, you know, it also, you know, kind of backhandedly shows kind of how smart we are, because we were talking about like
introspection.
Yeah, introspection. And we talk, you know, talking about Karl Marx and Opiate of the Masses and all of this, you know, all of this talk. And those are things that, you know, you learn in school. See what happened there?
God, I love school.
School is something that you go to school, and when you go to school, you go for a certain amount of time, and when you're done, you get a diploma and you graduate. That is the way it has worked for, I don't know,
millennia.
But it doesn't work that way anymore, or will not work that way anymore in Chicago for high school students. In Chicago, to graduate from public high school in Chicago, students will soon have to meet a new and unusual requirement. They must show that they have secured a job or received a letter of acceptance to college, a trade apprenticeship, a gap year program, or the military before they are given their high school diploma. And this news, this was kind of like, was announced as a policy some months ago, but it kind of like, it's coming into effect like now. And I thought about it actually last time we got together to talk, and I was like, oh, this is kind of, because I feel as though there's like a fundamental, like there's a core issue with like, yo, like you do the work in high school for graduating in high, like you, all of the things you're supposed to learn, you do. But like, it feels weird to penalize students or to like withhold a diploma because they've not secured something after they're supposed to get the diploma. Like, it just feels like a weird kind of thing. I don't know. Like, I wanted to throw it to y'all. How does this sound right? Does this sound like wrong? Does it sound fundamentally wrong? Or is it like, hey, like this, I can see the purpose of this and it might just be going about it the wrong way? Or it's like, yo, this is a great idea. I think more school districts in the nation should take this on. Thoughts? Let me know. I was concerned.
So I can understand how somebody could say that in a meeting and then be like, yeah, I can see how this could be helpful and how this is going to teach people to plan ahead and have people set up for success in the future. But on the other hand, I feel like it kind of shows one of the bigger flaws in our educational system, in that we are more focused on preparing someone to join the workforce than actually educating them and teaching them things. And that goes, but you know, to standardized testing and all these other sorts of things, we're trying to get scores and we're trying to get, you know, prove that the teachers are teaching them this specific information, as opposed to like teaching the kids how to learn and teaching how to be, you know, a lifelong student and not just like, oh, you're done, you got to go get a job now so that you can make money. And I think that's the bigger issue. Although I do see, like I said, like how someone was like, oh, this is probably going to help them. I just feel like they didn't think about the full like circle.
Yeah, I feel like in some ways it's almost like blaming a student to like, yo, you didn't get a job. I mean, you didn't do da 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 da. It's like, well, maybe you didn't do your job, teacher, or education system, to get them to the place where, because even in the article it talked about how the schools are judged based on whether or not how well the kids perform after the fact. Yeah. So it's really like the school trying to CYA, like, well, I need to make this look good for me, which just bears out, I don't care about you while you in here, and I don't care about you when you leave. What I care about is me and looking good and getting these numbers up and getting whatever it is. So kind of to like Nate's point, it's don't look at me, look at the student, and let me hold you this accountable. But obviously something's not getting checked along the way if you don't feel like they're advancing or moving on. Like, that's not gonna solve all the problems.
Yeah, I will say there's like some additional parts of this that should, you know, and I want to get your thoughts on this, Dan. But you know, the other parts of it is that what they're putting in place is that for the for the public colleges, they are officially saying like a basic they will take 100% acceptance of any Chicago resident kid who has graduated college and applies, or graduated high school and applies to the college for the state school. They will, like, you will be accepted. Like, there's no,
you
like,
can how good is your diploma even?
Which yeah. we can, there's a whole nother conversation, like, about
so
the idea.
We just gonna push you through. We've been pushing you through since the second grade. So, like,
yeah, there's a whole nother conversation about, like, the value of a college diploma in current society, which I think is even outside of Chicago to have that conversation. But I just wanted to bring that out too, that, like, they're attempting also to say, like, you can, you know, as long as you apply, you will be accepted in whatever, but
provided, yeah, you'll get a path forward.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm kind of conflicted about this thing. Mm-hmm. Because I am definitely one that's believes that the college system is broken, and is going to fail massively, more so than it already has going forward. With the new entrepreneurship and the new pushes, like, kids can leave high school with a vision and they can find grants, funding, and mentorships, internships, and a lot of places to help them get to where they want to go. So I think that not
outside of college,
right? Outside of college or like, yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And so I was thankful to kind of see the gap year and like these, there's other ways forward. And it wasn't just a college requirement basically that they were putting forward, but so I had a problem with that, but I do see the heart behind it of not a lot of these kids have an example in their lives to say this is what you should do after high school. Mm-hmm. That you should get outside of yourself. Like, we were in me and my wife were over in France earlier this year, and we met a girl on the subway from Atlanta, Georgia. Mm. And she had never been out of the country. She got accepted to just this like study abroad between high school and college. And she was just spending time over in France studying. And it was the first time she'd been on a plane, the first time she'd been out of the country. And she just raved about how like her whole world had changed. Mm. And I think that when people are forced to do something that is difficult and out of their comfort zone, it does put their back against the wall, and there will be problems with it because it causes people to fail, and we don't like to see kids fail, and we like to hand kids diplomas, but I think we have to ask ourselves, what does that diploma even do for them? If that high school diploma, if they're just going to graduate with it and not do anything, is it even worth giving them a diploma? Is the school doing that kid justice, or is the most justice that can be done is to say, for us to give you this, we want to see that you are, we want to use this to, and maybe it is a passive aggressive way to do it, but we want to use this to make sure that you go do something next. And we want to push you outside of your comfort zone, push you outside of what you've seen others do before you, and go do it. And in that sense, I'm super behind it. And I think it should be, I don't think it needs to be a mandate in some parts of this country that do have examples and do have friends. Like, every one of my friends went to college. Mm-hmm. It was never a question to me whether or not to go to college or not. That was what you did after high school.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So I don't know what it's like to grow up in a place that the norm is not to go to college.
I can say,
or graduate,
right.
Or graduate.
So I can say for me, like my, like I have friends on either side of that. Like, so, you know, I knew I was going to college. Right. But I came from a family whose parents went to college. Right. Mm-hmm. Like, but I have friends who they are the first person in their family to attend college and or get a college diploma.
Right.
And so that's where I think this kind of, gets a little tricky or interesting, more pointed to the point, it just gets a little bit more impactful and disastrous at times, is because when you look at particularly the Black and Latino students in these areas, like it's in theory, like, man, this is great. And ultimately the heart behind it, or the expressed heart behind it, is essentially changing the mindset, which is like, yes, cool. But I feel like you can't do that and then also do, you know, last year they slashed 1,000 jobs in CPS, you know, in these school districts. And it's like, so you have the underserved, underreserved, like underserved and under-resourced students, largely from the most vulnerable areas in Chicago, who are facing things on an existential basis that actually might have nothing to do. Like, before you even deal with high school, they're worried about like routes to school that keep them out of gang violence. Like there's
or dinner
all, or, di- or like breakfast. All of these things. Yeah, like how am I? And so then you're the introduction of what becomes just another barrier to success, even though its push is like, yo, we're trying to make sure that you don't, that you change its mindset so that like education, however that looks, whether that's, you know, a trade school or military or gap year, whatever it is, it all ends up in the actual, moving from theoretical to the actual practice. It ends up feeling and looking a lot of ways like, yo, this is just another hurdle that these kids have to jump. Whereas like you, like I said, like I knew I was going to college. I knew that was going to happen, whether, you know, it was going to happen by loans, but I knew that was going to happen. You know what I mean? And I have some friends who like, they knew they were always going to go to college. And I knew that, but I can think of like homies back home and people that I'm not even that cool with who are just like, yeah, like, nah, that's not what it is. Like, college was not a part of it. And it was never in the ballpark of consideration, because it just seemed, there were so many barriers. Like, they needed to enter the workforce to provide for the family, like, almost immediately. Yeah. So, I know Nate, like, so you grew up really fat to tell them, like, you didn't grow up here in Atlanta.
No. I grew up in Delaware.
Okay.
So, and I think kind of similar to you, like I knew I was going to college. My dad is a college professor. Like that wasn't, if I didn't want to go to college, it probably would have been an issue. But, yeah, and I definitely knew lots of people. A lot of people I went to high school with were going to go to college, but I definitely had friends like who not some out of like, just didn't think it was an option. And some just were like, oh yeah, I'm going to go work this job and make $10 an hour or whatever it was. And like, oh, 'cause that seems, in an 18-year-old's mind, like, oh, I could get paid
now
instead of
$50K a year to go do this. Yeah.
Then hear people talk to me that I don't want to listen to, right. Or I can go.
I don't like school.
Yeah, I don't love high school.
I what makes go, you yeah, think bust these tables? Yeah, and this seems like a better option. And you know, like you said, like it's good to have a plan. It's good for kids to be learning to have a plan. But it almost feels like, you know, using it as like a punishment, as a deterrent. Mm. Whereas like, you know, like you said, if they're trying to figure out where dinner's coming from, what do I care about a diploma?
Yeah.
And I think if they were putting more resources into
the education
system, educating them, they are putting them in touch with people who could show them a path to that. That's going to be more impactful than saying, oh, you're not going to get this diploma if, you know, if you don't have a plan. Because I can tell you right now, I don't know where my diploma, I don't even know if I actually ever got my real high school diploma. I know I graduated, but like, I don't care about a high school diploma.
Yeah,
like,
no, totally.
I'm also just, and I want, you know, I want, of course, you to jump back in, Yvette, but I'm also just like, I feel like there's, even outside of like what we want to see happen, is there not something fundamentally wrong with like saying, like, your requirement for high school graduation is doing something post graduation, like,
yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Like that, I don't understand. I'm trying to come up with like a comparison that would make that more stark of an idea. But like, okay, you do all this work in a two week work period, right? So, but before we pay you on that Friday, we need to make sure that you need to check in for work. For the next work
Monday.
Week. Like, yeah. you know what I'm saying? Like, that's the only way we're going to pay you for what you just did for the last 2 weeks. Like,
I just think they're asking the wrong question. I'm like, what's your graduation rate, Chicago?
It's better. I mean, it's up, like, I think the article said it's 16. Up, like, 16%. Yep.
That okay. Was... Well, congratulations. Like, you know, like, good, though, right? Yeah. But, like, that's a concern. It's, like, get that up. Get it up a little bit higher. Like, you know, you got how many that are dropping out. I'm like, if they at least get to the, if they've gotten to the point, despite all of the challenges that they're facing, I graduated, like, let me go, you know? Like,
you're also like, you're asking 17, 18, 19 year old kids to know what they're doing with the rest of their lives.
Yeah, ask which, some 35 year olds what they're doing right now. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know what I'm doing.
Well, I don't know if they're so.
I get the, like you said, the expressed right concern. I get it. It's like, I want you to move on and do something great and find yourself, I guess, and be successful, but.
Because I think what we're agreeing on and what I agree with is you can't make the statements they're making and not resource the students with the conversation with a professional that's like one-on-one. Every kid gets like 2 hours with a counselor to be like, what are like, okay, you don't know what you want to do. You can't afford college. Is military something that you would be interested in? Because there is the GI Bill. And then after 3 years or 4 years of serving, you can go to college and get your degree for free. Mm-hmm. Like there are paths forward. And I don't think that the input is that extraordinary that it would take these conversations to happen. Now, what it will take is millions of dollars of counselors who literally are present, right? Mm-hmm. Who are choosing to be there. And that's a fairly large input. I don't want to undersell that, but I don't think these kids understand their situation. Mm-hmm. And I think what they don't have is that one person that's like, you do have options. Mm-hmm. I think everyone in the world is telling them you don't have options. Like, it's not a victimization of themselves, or they're not acting victimized. Like, they literally don't know that they do have options. Mm-hmm. And there are ways, there are gap year programs that literally will take anyone, because they're going to take you probably to a third world country and have you serve there.
I'll be honest. I when I graduated, I had no idea. I didn't know a gap year existed.
Yeah, me either.
At all. Like, yeah, I found that out years later, like post college graduation. Like, I never knew this thing existed. And even throughout like high school, I went to a decent school district or whatever, and like my school wasn't, you know what I'm saying, East Side High or anything like that. But like, it was essentially like, it was cool.
That's funny.
But my guidance counselor was trash. Like, and I was a AP student, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But he was trash. Like, he, like, literally there was no like bonding. There was no like, I actually want to, you know, what are your dreams? What do you want to see? Like, nothing. Like, it was very, we're going to help you fill out your schedule.
Paperwork.
For
the
Maybe 10 minutes school year.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, to go
turn that in.
Absolutely.
What are you going to do?
So I just feel like these larger questions, you know, and this is kind of interesting because, of course, you know, to drag politics into it again, like,
yeah, do it.
Chicago is ultimately like a Democratic stronghold place. So you have these ideas of kind of nanny state ideas in which, like, we're going to make, you know, going to push potentially institutions to do things that private citizenry should be doing. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it's tough to like saddle, counselors potentially. I mean, I don't know if it's saddling or if it's like, yo, do your job, but it's tough to like, hey, we need you to like help these kids understand like, and see larger options than what is currently in front of them. I don't know.
But I feel like the poor counselors, right? Like, the teachers probably feel like they're a catcher's mitt, right? They're inheriting a whole lot of stuff.
True.
That, like, yo, I'm here to teach you, but I'm trying to feed you and do this, that, and the other thing, right? So then what falls through the cracks there, then now you're telling the counselors, you catch this. It's like, you can barely read and I'm supposed to give you options.
Right.
I'm supposed to explain to you what options are. Like, I grew up in rural South Carolina. Okay. They didn't have AP classes. Mm. That wasn't even an option to have that. So to prepare to go to college, like, you might have college prep, but you didn't have AP or anything like that. So that wasn't even a possibility. And here I was, right? I'm more like closer at the top of my class. Mm-hmm. And I remember them saying, well, don't go to this college. You're too smart to go here. I'm like, well, dang, that's, what are you telling the other kid, you know, who comes in here? And so you're basically saying, you really don't have an option. You're probably going to have to do this. You're going to have to do that. And so they're just kind of like shuffling them into their best case scenario.
Right.
Because the school didn't do, either the school, mom, dad, whatever. You're not ready to really contribute to society in this way right now. Mm-hmm. And I'm your last stop. Right?
Yeah.
So I got to get you placed somewhere so that it looks like I did my job. So it looks like I did my job.
Right.
And even some of the guys that I know specifically, like, yeah, they got into a tech school, but they didn't graduate. Mm-hmm. So you not preparing them is going to show up eventually anyway.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to show up in the community. Like,
absolutely.
We know schools ain't doing their job.
Right.
You creating this other little cute little swing door. 3 years from now, we're going to know you're full of it.
Yeah,
it's a great point. I mean, because even in the article, they talked about, they basically put like a one-year track on these kids. And after one year...
Yeah, we evaluated it.
It's not our problem anymore. Okay,
yeah.
We did our job.
Raging
it's like putting
success.
Like a one-year warranty on the child and being like... Yeah. Once you pass 1 year, it's not our problem anymore.
I got homies who got arrested at 20, 21. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's
crazy. Like, I did 1 year at tech.
Right.
Okay. Well, we're successful then.
I know people who sold drugs at college and are, anyway, it's just crazy.
Yeah.
So I will totally admit, like, it seems flawed. And I'm the last person that's like, government needs to step in and do this. Like, I would much prefer there to be a nonprofit that's like, hey, we can, like, we care, like, and our door is always open. If you are a kid who wants to figure out what you want to do with your life, like 6 to 9 every day after school, come stop by. We will help you figure out where you want to land in life. Mm-hmm. Like, I think that's a way doper idea than necessarily putting it on a counselor who's also figuring out, you know, abuse at home.
Ongoing gun violence, income inequality, school closings.
I got 300
closings.
Kids I'm supposed to
that's
do
the real thing.
Myself.
Like, how many kids does one counselor
one
have to
counselor
deal with?
One counselor has to deal with.
I think we had 4 counselors in my high school.
By the time I graduated, we had 3, but it started as 4.
So I guarantee you, like, my guidance counselor couldn't have told me anything about me other than my name and
what
whatever
was
my
your
student
school
number
population?
It was like 1,500, 2,000.
The observation is parents who cared, parents who cared, parents who cared, parents who cared.
And we're also had the means to
exactly.
It's not just caring. Like, there's a lot more that goes into it. Like,
facts.
I know plenty of people whose parents probably didn't care and they still went to college because they had their parents had money.
Or parents who parents cared very deeply and don't necessarily have the means or the understanding to be like, this is how this system works.
Exactly.
Yes.
I do think, like, parent involvement, unfortunately, is the secret sauce to, I think, a lot of the, like, issues in this country. And that goes to that speaks not to how do we fix parenting in this country, but the institutionalization of so many racial and, like, issues in this country that steal parents from the home that we have to deal with, that we would love to watch Stranger Things when it comes out and not think about, but it's a real thing.
Yeah. I mean, it's tough because it's so tough when you, like,
it's a whole nother
situation. These things where, like, you know, just mothers who are like, I would love to have the time to come for a parent-teacher conference and know what my child is like.
Yeah, but maybe I didn't graduate. Right. They played me too.
I'm working.
How about that?
X amount. Like, I'm essentially just trying to. It's a very interesting. But, you know, to the people, fourth district listeners, let us know what your thoughts are about this whole thing, man. Because as you can see, we have a lot of really mixed thoughts. I think all of us kind of like the idea of, like, changing the mindset of kids to so that they can think longer term, right? We all agree with that, but we kind of have all found flaws in the way that this is being proposed, and even if we, you know, think some form of it could work, There's just so many unanswerables at this point, so many variables that it's really tough to see it and not think that there will be a lot of people falling through the gaps.
Yeah, it's a paper. I mean, unfortunately, it's a paper tiger. But what I hate to be the person of is like someone's actually trying to do something to change the system, and I'm just sitting here shooting it down. Like, I hate being that guy. Like,
I got you.
There's too many of those people in this world and not enough people that are like, all right, let's try something.
I got you. Yeah.
Let's look at this healthcare bill.
man.
I'm sorry.
All appropriate. That's that. We're going to kind of end it with our scratch of the week. And I don't think I mentioned this to you at all, Nate. Nate Mass.
I mean, I have listened to the podcast.
That's true. Before, so you I'm have listened to the
podcast. Vaguely familiar with.
Scratch of the Week is where we just kind of shout out something, a noun, a person, place, or thing, something happening that we want to draw attention to. It can be something good. It can be something bad. It can be anything that just we want to make sure that the listeners know about. If y'all are good, I will go first. If let y'all
do it.
But I want to shout out really fast. This is somber. It's a little sad. But I hadn't really talked about it a whole lot publicly. But it is like personally in a sense. But like I want to shout out the death of Chester Bennington of Linkin Park. It was like really kind of crazy. Like music, all of that, but like I remember when I first like heard Linkin Park, I saw them live. They were one of the people with like I ended up seeing live before I ever heard any music of theirs at all. I remember going to there was a show, like one of those like promotional shows, like a $5, you pay $5 and like, oh, and like Alicia Keys had like just came out, so I went to like the Cleveland Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and like, oh, I'm gonna see Alicia Keys for like $5. That's what's up. And then there was this other band that was performing like right after her, and I was like, I don't know who these people are, but wow. I watched them perform, and like they just tore it down, and like in a very interesting weird time of early aughts rap rock bands or whatever, like so many of them were bad and just didn't like, you know, extend past the period of, you know, you had your Rage Against the Machines, which were amazing, but then you also had, you know, Limp Bizkit and, you know, what was that, Crazy Town or like Come My Lady.
Yeah, I think
that was. Anyway, yeah. A bunch of terrible bands, but Chester Bennington, I just remember thinking he was the way he was able to sing, like his voice was so powerful. And I didn't love like all of their music, but like some of that stuff was really impactful and really helpful. And I'll also say this, the thing that I thought was the absolute dopest thing ever is that they put out their album, Hybrid Theory or whatever. It sells, I don't know how many millions and millions of whatever.
Yeah.
And then like the follow up before they do Meteora, their second album, they put out a remix album called Reanimation, in which they are like the top rock band at this point, and they grab a bunch of underground hip hop acts and like remix all of their songs. And so you had like just West Coast legends like AC Alone and Micah 9 and Motion 9 and all these people, and then, you know, Grand Pooba and just random people. You're just like, no, like these are acts that like main hip hop acts aren't putting on. And it was just crazy to see this rock band do this, and I just thought that was like the dopest thing ever. So Chester Bennington, I think I put one of his songs on the playlist, yeah, on the new music playlist. But yeah, I just want to shout that out. So that's my scratch of the week. Who next?
I'll go.
Word.
So we're talking about documentary films that changed the world.
Word up.
And so it may not have changed the world, but it definitely changed my world. It's a documentary called 180 Degrees South. If you have not seen it, it is on Netflix. It is literally the film that made me become a filmmaker, made me become a rock climber, made me, like, I watched it and I was just like, it was my counselor who literally was like, there's life outside of, I saw it my freshman year of college. And to be honest, I was just such a prick that like was like the frat kid who went to UGA and like lived every stereotype that you're thinking right now. I was that and thought it was awesome. But I watched this film and I was just like, it was a counselor that was like, there is this whole other world that you actually don't know exists, and it's way more real than what you possibly could even dream of. And I saw that film and it led me on a path that I'm now currently living. But 180 Degrees South, it's about the guy in it is the guy who started the North Face and Patagonia clothing companies. They're best friends. They have the largest private nature reserve in Patagonia. So this guy kind of travels down there. It's a surf documentary, rock climbing documentary. But if you dig adventure and just kind of finding yourself, it's a super, super good film.
Dope. 108 degrees south?
108 degrees south.
Are you saying 180 or 108?
Yes, the first thing you said.
Okay, cool. I was like, am I hearing this wrong? Got you.
180 degrees south.
Dope.
The opposite direction. South.
Dope. Nice. That's what's up.
Ready? Yeah, I can go. So I'm going to be slightly selfish and shout out a group that I'm affiliated with, Homegrown Poetry. We have a YouTube channel that we kind of try to showcase Atlanta area spoken words, spoken word artists, and we go to different open mics and film and try to get a variety of voices, just because we feel like Atlanta's a really, you know, there's a lot of really talented people in Atlanta that may not get the visibility that they deserve. And we're also gonna in the near future start doing some original content as well. So definitely, Homegrown Poetry. It's on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, everywhere.
So, homegrown, one homegrown. Word.
Homegrown is one word. Yeah. And then poetry is its own word.
It is. Yes. Thank
he's
you
a,
for that.
He's a poet. Taking
just
us home.
Just in case. That moment.
It is late.
Yes. Right. My scratch of the week is Insecure, Miss Issa Rae. The season premiere of season 2 came out on Sunday. So just, you know, as a sister and a filmmaker, and I just think her story is just very interesting. You know, Miss YouTube phenomenon, this awkward black girl.
Yeah.
Having season 2 on HBO and just did really, really, really well. And, you know, I don't know if I'm Team Issa, Team Lawrence. It's up for debate out there. But do you watch? Does anybody else watch it?
I definitely watch.
Did you catch the?
I definitely did.
Are you on Team Issa?
I told people this. I texted this. I tweeted. I was like, look, I refuse to argue with real life men and women about fictional Issa and Lawrence. Like, I refuse to. Because this thing is like...
It's intense.
It's intense. Like, people are drawing lines in the sand. Like, they are like, no, for real, this girl is wrong. No, for real, he's wrong. Like, it's...
Yeah. But for those of you who don't know, she cheated on Lawrence at the end of last season. And he had some revenge sex. It was a lot. And then, so now we're back to see
but it's
happens.
An amazing... Like, I will say She, to your point, she makes like everybody seems very relatable. Like all the entire thing. You're like, man, I know this person, or I could see this happening.
Yeah. Or I am this person.
Or that's me.
Yeah. Well,
yeah. Absolutely.
And it's just the diversity, I think, even of like the black girl story, or just the millennial story, and like the twists and turns of that, I think are very, very relatable. Yeah. So shout out to
Issa. Yeah, I've told people I'm actually Team Thug Yoda. Like, if I'm anyone, I'm Team him. He's amazing.
You want that belch?
Yo, who's that? I'm about to benect. Anyway, these are all inside jokes, definitely. But yo, man, I think that's it. We did it. We did another off the record. I'm gonna quit sounding shocked.
Yeah, but maybe for the future of our podcast, we should be a little bit more confident.
No, but no, man, as always, we really do appreciate y'all listening to us. Please, we are on iTunes, right?
Sure are.
They can absolutely rate us, right?
Mm-hmm, sure can.
We'd appreciate that.
Yeah.
and leave a comment, you know, let us know how great we are. If we're not great, keep that to yourself, okay? But nonetheless.
Nobody wants your negativity.
We're sensitive about how we're artists.
Yes, absolutely. No, but man, Nate, thanks so much for falling through.
Thank y'all for having me.
Where can they reach you? Yeah, you should definitely let them know.
Yeah. So on Facebook, it is Nate Mask Poetry. Those are three different words.
There it is.
Mask, just like the thing you wear on your face. On Instagram, it is the letter N, the number 8, Mask Poetry, M-A-S-K, poetry, all one word. Mm-hmm. Yeah, those are really the only two I'm that active on.
That's what's up.
My Twitter is not... It's not even worth following, to be completely honest. So yeah, those two. That's probably the best way to reach me. That's what's up.
And Nate and I will be in Denver in a couple weeks, trying to.
Is this the big competition?
It's the big one.
Trying to bring the crown back to, I don't know. I don't think we ever had it, but.
Nah, but bring it back for the first time.
Back for the first time. Just ludicrous albums. Yeah. Anyway, yo, this was Off the Record. Thanks so much. We'll see y'all soon.
I'm just waiting for a reason to buck. I got the itch like spiders creeping up my back like Beanie Siegel. I can feel it in the air. Please don't come up over here with that bullshit, that fake positive nonsense or that pulpit. They say you wildin' cause you down bad, stressing over deposits and they don't flashing in your closet. How can you be happy when that's surrounded by the